This is the number one politics, society, and culture podcast that you'll ever hear. It's called the Toasty Podcast. Look, if anyone is going to start a media revolution, it might as well be us. Sky created the Toasty brand to influence people in a positive way in order to empower independent thinkers such as himself to stand up for what they believe in. And here at the Toasty Podcast, we call that staying toasty. So, where does that leave you? It's simple, really. When you support our work, you're supporting the good fight. We produce podcasts, create YouTube and TikTok content, and design apparel that isn't made in China for you. We want to engage culture, so let's get toasty.
Had a guest like look at her and go like literally was staring at her, right? And she was bringing them food. She's like, who had the half rack of ribs? And he's like, and it was his, right? It was the guy. He's just staring at her, right? And then she's just like, the wife, the table was like, oh yeah, that's his. And she was like, okay. And she like handed it, and he's like, what is... That's all he did, right? And she was like, what do you mean? My hair? And he was like, oh, that's your hair? She's like...
That's what he said?
Yeah, that's hair. Like, what the hell? It was weird.
That is so weird.
Yeah, and that's also like, bro, I don't know if that's rude or not, but
that's
I'm just
definitely
like,
very rude.
Yeah, like, bro, yeah. Come on, man. Like, what are you doing, dude? It's like, just like, dude, BJ's, man. Casual plus. I don't know, bro, but... whatever. Welcome back to the Toasty Podcast, my friends and family, the number one toast, aka Toast Fosho, aka
Toast the toastiest, Jelly. The toastiest one yet.
The toastiest one yet. Toast and Jelly.
I'm Sky Day. No, wait, I'm Maddie B. I'm just kidding,
everybody. Okay.
Yeah, I had you for a second. You're like, you really think you're me?
No, I was like, wait, are we doing this? I was about to be like, and I'm Maddie B? Okay. All right. If you're listening for the first time, guys, this is a politics, society, and culture podcast, and we try to share as much truth as we can on today's media, political grounds, battlegrounds, all of the above, society, culture, everything. We just try to find what we can about it. That's true. And talk about it. That's essentially what's going on in the world today. And if you think, oh, well, I don't want to be involved in politics. Everything you do on a daily basis is now becoming political. So, sorry about you.
You're involved in it whether you like it or not. It affects you.
That is true. And it's becoming more so and more so. That silent majority is becoming less and less of a thing because you really just can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a side, guys. Have your line and let's get it. So anyway, with that said, welcome. And I hope you enjoy the show. Otherwise, please share it because that's how we grow. Also, subscribe, like, all of the above. But sharing be the most. And today's Facebook question was, should Biden remove himself from office after the recent failures in Afghanistan? Question mark. And what we meant by that was actually say, I resign and peace out. He might be forced. He might be impeached. Whatever.
Right.
But
he
should
might,
he do it?
He
himself?
Might be impeached to the point where they're like, "We're going to convict you, and you're going to be."
I mean,
we're
like,
going to vote to remove you, and it's inevitable. And,
right.
And you know, like in 1974, Nixon could basically see the writing on the wall. Like he knew it was over. All
and,
these senators
like,
had already announced, like, "We're going to vote against you. We're gonna remove you from office." So he's like, "You know what?
He's out. Right.
I'm out. I resign."
Well, Cuomo did the same thing, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Except what's interesting about that is that he was able to do that and get away with it.
Yeah, but he basically got away with the more egregious thing that he should have gotten removed for.
Murder? Yeah.
Yeah. And keeping the COVID deaths down by 12,000. You hear they increased the COVID count by 12,000? Their death count by 12,000.
What? When he got out?
Yep. That was like one of the first things the new governor did.
No way.
Yeah.
Who's the new governor?
The lieutenant, his lieutenant governor.
Really?
Yeah.
That guy.
That's how, like...
That's good,
that's
actually.
How messed
that's cool
up.
That he did that.
Well, it's a woman.
That's cool that she did that.
Yeah.
My bad.
That's how messed up New York politics is. When your own lieutenant governor is, like...
It's
stabbing
corrupt,
your back
dude.
On the way as you're walking out the door. Like, just brutal.
That's House of Cards, man. That's how it is. That's how it is.
Mob mentality.
So anyway, towards the end of the show, we'll get to that question again, and I'll show you guys the comments. We didn't have that many this time, but hey, you know what? It is what it is. And if you comment on that, you get a chance to win a Toasty Tea for free sent to your any address. I was going to say your home, but it can be any address, really.
Whoa.
So.
Ooh, look, I have one.
Anywho. Oh, yes, Matt has a newly fresh Toasty Tea.
I had the best comment of all time one because of the, I'm Matty B, so.
One of the new designs I got on the website. If you guys want to see that, you can go to toastycreations.com/shop. I didn't really want this to be an infomercial, but hey, you know what? We're on it.
You got to see the, you got to see the gear. You know?
I agree, honestly. And also, you know what, dude? If you don't like that and you're watching, man, get over it. We have to make a living somehow, guys. We have to make this thing grow. So
yeah. That's a good way just
for, I would rather sell t-shirts and advertise that way than like I don't know.
And it's all
donations.
Patreon. Where is the cotton from?
Oh, so it's all USA materials.
So cotton
made in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
I don't know why I do know why, because it's cheaper for people to make it down there.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have the products here. So
you
got to
ship
it?
The materials there and then ship the product back.
Yeah, but TBH, crazy. I didn't even know America had cotton to ship. I didn't even know we still did that. not
yeah.
even kidding.
Right? Yeah, no, we have a bunch
we
of
we still do textiles. Wow. Really awesome. Cool.
Well, we grow the cotton for sure.
I mean, we're losing manufacturing, that's for sure.
It's mostly because of federal subsidies that we're able to grow.
You know, I walked into Dickie's Barbecue today, and I know there's a daily limit on all their crap. I get it.
What do you mean a daily limit?
Don't they have a daily limit on the meats they sell at Dickie's Barbecue? Because, you know, it's meat, so they have to slow roast or whatever. Oh, do they or maybe, not?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I was assuming they would because they need to, like, make sure they have the stock or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I walk in and this place is dead, you know? Uh-huh. And I'm talking like no one's in there, literally no one. I'm the only guy. And I walk in and I'm like, okay, so, and it was like 3 o'clock. So I get it. I guess it's after lunch or whatever. Everything's pretty full. And by the way, this is speaking of the shortages. That's why I just want to go. I listed off 3 different meats, and he's like, oh, yeah, we don't have any of that. We don't have any of that. We don't have any of that. It was brisket burn-ins. It was chicken breast. And what else did he say? I think some kind of sausage. And I was like, okay. Like,
no wonder nobody's in here. You don't have any food.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so you have brisket? He's like, yeah, we got that. I'm like, well, okay, don't say it like I was supposed to expect it, because literally you have nothing, right?
Yeah.
I was like, how are you guys doing over here? He's like, oh, we just, it's crazy, man. I don't know. They can't keep the stock up or whatever. I was like, okay, whatever, dude. It was weird.
That could just be bad management.
Well, I know. I agree with you. I do agree with you. I've just been hearing some things, some rumbles on the East Coast about still having shortages of stuff. So I don't know. You know? I don't know.
Huh. That's scary.
It is, dude. What's even more scary, that list they gave out for the January 6th insurrection. The quote-unquote insurrection. My bad, guys. The Capitol riot.
Which list?
They gave out a list of all the people that they think are responsible. Literally, they did. And they said, we need all of these people's social media accounts, basically. That's what they said. Yeah. Wow. Jack Posobiec, do you know who that is?
Uh-huh.
Got a subpoena, bro, for his information. Because he's on the list.
What the hell?
He's on the list, dude. The random dude.
Ugh.
Yeah, dude. It's weird. And some random people that no one even knows are on the list. And they're like, why are these people on the list? Apparently, there was a guy on the list that wasn't even there. Like, it's crazy.
Dude, that makes me think that...
Isn't that weird? That's really freaking dude, weird. You know, especially since after the FBI came out and said it wasn't an insurrection.
I'm out. I can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. we're going to be on the list, bro. We're going to be on the list.
That is the whole point of doing the podcast, isn't it?
No, that is the point of doing the podcast. You know what? We'll do it from our freaking basement if we have to.
What? Basement? We'll... No, a van by the river. Leave.
Eating an assortment of government cheeses. No, I'm saying, like, we'll do it no matter what.
I agree, dude. The thing is...
People need to know the truth.
It's just weird that they're doing that. So it was... And it comes out after the FBI's like, nah, nothing happened here. No one planned anything. It just happened to be these people that were hyped up, right?
See, in Australia, they're pretty overt about everything.
Yeah.
Like, Americans are a lot sneakier than Australians.
You think so?
Yeah.
I can't...
They've been controlling...
What do you mean?
They've been... Okay, well...
To us, it's not secret, is it?
The thing is, there's so many, maybe there's more distractions in America, but there's so many distractions here that they could just, whoever they is, it could be our government or the Chinese or the Russians or all three working in tandem against the population.
Okay, so
just for control.
Yeah.
And they can control us so easily.
I mean, I hate going into
social
like
media and all the other distractions.
Conspiracy theories mm-hmm. have become average theories, have become normal theories, bro.
Yeah, you know? That's like, where we are.
It's literally like where we're like talking about this stuff like, wait a second. Could be real. Could be true. You know?
So like, Alex Jones has become like a moderate voice. Like the voice of reason.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
where we
where
are.
Is your country at whenever Alex Jones becomes the voice of reason?
Yeah.
You know? That's crazy, dude. Golly, man. So that's sad, honestly. But speaking of crazy, you know, we ended the Afghanistan withdrawal today, right?
War, the whole war.
The whole war.
Everything.
Yeah, the whole war.
Pentagon
done.
Announced it at, I think, 3:29 p.m.
Again, before anyone's home or able to see anything,
yeah.
They announced this stuff. That's also weird. They're doing that every single time. Any press conference Joe does, any of this like important stuff. They're like, nah, we're not going to wait for someone to get home from work and watch it. What happened to prime time, 7, 8 o'clock?
Exactly.
What happened to that? You know?
Joe Biden can't stay up that late. It's that simple. I'm dead serious. It's that simple. You literally can't
really?
Stay up
Apparently
that late.
He's getting like whacked for looking at his watch during the ceremony.
Yeah, I don't know
all that. That was dumb.
No, no, I don't think so. I think that was pretty important. Like, yeah, he looks at his watch in this clip right here as the Marines are coming home or waiting to get off the aircraft.
Well, that's it. Tim just glancing at his watch. Like, here's the thing. Here's what I'll say. Even though he is an old, incompetent guy, you know, mm-hmm. and he actually did something terrible. I've looked at my wrist without a watch on it because I'm so used to looking at my watch and like it's a habit. So I can see that being a habit for somebody, especially uh-huh. someone that wears a watch all the time. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You know, very, very terrible timing. I understand because he's like, it's an intense moment.
Yeah.
It should have been direct, like from his heart to his freaking hands behind his back or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But it was like he probably even real honestly as incompetent as he is, it looked like he realized he was like
he know
quick he
exactly
was like,
he was trying to sneak it know? In. That's
you
why I'm
so?
Like yeah.
Oh, you think he's trying to sneak it in? Really?
Yeah, he's like
I don't know, man.
Much longer.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe
even if that's the case,
it doesn't matter. He already did something terrible. He's the reason they're dead.
What I think this shows is just the body language, the fact that. It could be instinctive or reflexive, but he's still checking his watch, and that could be indicative of an attitude of I don't really want to be
That's
here.
A good
or
point.
How much longer is this going to be?
You think
it could be subconscious, and if he's thinking it subconsciously, he's still a terrible human.
So you
being,
think when
so.
You have so let's just say it's a habit. You think whenever you have a habit like that, because I think this, and you're in an intense moment. And you're thinking, all you're thinking about is how you need to be like presentable and perfect or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to be that way. So yeah. I sometimes would think that habit kind of goes out the window because you're constantly thinking about what you're doing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe what you're saying might be true. Like he must not be present in the moment.
He's not. That's
he's
the thing.
Doing, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you're at a wedding, like, and something happens, or like you're the best man. Let's say you're the best man. You got to get the ring, right? It's an intense moment. You got to have the ring or whatever, right? But I'm used to looking at my watch. If I like, and you're always standing behind you with your hands behind your back or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be so worried about that ring that I'm not even going to think about the habit of looking at my watch.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
You're so singularly focused.
Because almost every time I move my hands from around my back to the front or whatever, I will look at my watch, like mm-hmm. not even just instinctually. So I don't know. That's a good. That's he's not in the moment.
Yeah.
He's not in the freaking moment, dude. Wow. Well, anyway, so that's why he was slammed, I guess, for that. That's crazy. That's crazy, dude. And then Ashley Babbitt out here not even getting justified. That's crazy.
No justice,
man.
For Ashley Babbitt. That's super sad. The fact that officer said, oh, I would have.
Dude, did you? So you watched it, right? You watched the interview?
Clips of it, yeah.
Dude, the guy.
He said it wouldn't have mattered whether she was armed or not. That doesn't matter when you're shooting
yeah.
someone.
And then he's like,
whether they're armed or not.
He's like, he was touting himself up. Like he
yeah.
was like talking himself up. It was really weird.
Like,
I was
saved,
like, how do you?
I saved so many congressional members' lives that day.
How desensitized.
You didn't save anyone's life that day, dude. You killed someone that day.
Yeah, I...
He's a piece of trash.
I don't
officer.
Know how desensitized you have to be like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even a Marine will come home and be like...
Don't talk
traumatized
about it.
Forever because they killed somebody, dude.
Right.
Even though they know they might have been an enemy or that kid had a freaking bomb strapped to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that's the type of real person it takes. Like, trauma. You're traumatized. That people need help for that. And this guy's out here on an NBC interview live, and he's like, I saved lives. And doesn't even just glances over the fact that he's like, dude, you killed somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You didn't, and she wasn't about to kill anybody. Nobody in that crowd most likely was about to kill anybody. I don't
think. No, they were all crackpots, dude. All of them were just crazy.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And they were just like, this is so crazy. Look, nobody's in here. We can just run amok.
Right.
They just went as far as they could. You know? It just got out of hand.
And have you watched the video, the Ashley Babbitt video? Like, from, like, there's a point of view that was perfect. This guy, like, kind of in the back a little bit, standing in front of the doors or whatever. Well, at one point, when all the Congress people, they're at the Senate, not Senate, the lobby, I said something like lobby, some lobby, I don't know, whatever, Senator's lobby or something like that. And the Congress people get out of that hallway. There's a big, long, you know, big hallway, right? There's a little walkway to the left, and that's where whoever this guy, what's his name? The guy that killed Ashley Babbitt?
I don't know.
The cop's name? He was behind it, okay? Anyway, you don't really see him. All the Congress people go away, right? They disappear. They're gone. So the hallway is completely empty. Right at that moment, the police that were standing in front of the door, it was all barricaded behind the door, too. Hmm. Like, barricaded with chairs and all this other random crap. You're like, what the hell? From inside the Capitol. I'm like, what the? It's weird. And the policemen go, they move over to the side of the whole big crowd that's right there in front of the door. They're just like, all right, move over to the side. Not blocking them anymore, right? And at that moment, the same guy that was punching the window comes up and breaks the window. Ashley Babbitt shows up. She was there the whole time, but she kind of moves forward towards the door.
Uh-huh.
And then Ashley Babbitt leans in to the door, leans into it because the window's broken. And you see the gun come, that little left hallway or whatever, the gun comes out from nowhere. Just the gun. You can see his gun in hand. You can't see the cop. And boom, shot, done. And like, the doors weren't even open yet. Nothing had happened yet. That's what's crazy. Like, a breach technically may have happened because the window's broken.
Uh-huh.
But these guys, the crowd was not, they weren't all, like, entrenched on the door. It was like,
they were slamming crowd, the door open. They were,
and you had one guy punch the door, and he kind of backs away. And then Ashley Babbitt shows up. And, like, you don't have this whole, like, crowd trying to enter kind of thing, I guess, you know? And like I said, the weird thing to me was cops were just kind of like, well, and one of those cops was a quote-unquote tactical officer and had a helmet on and all this freaking gear on, and he had an AR that was silenced. You can see a silencer on, and you're like, damn, that guy is loaded.
Hmm.
So why the heck does a random cop with a handgun pop his hand out of the left hallway when this dude right here knows what's going on and he's right beside the whole thing? The only reason I know he exists is because right as soon as Ashley Babbitt shot, he goes, he like has a weird face, and then he like goes down to Ashley Babbitt, pulls her out of the way a little bit, and then he's like, he looks back up and gets up, and then he's like, she's like, she's down. I can't read lips, so I don't know exactly what he said, but I'm assuming that's what he was like, she's down, looking at the officer that was like, that shot her, right?
Right.
I'm like, what the heck, dude? All that stuff was poorly just managed, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Capitol Police are a joke.
Poorly managed.
Yeah.
Capitol Police are a joke because they don't need to be policemen. What happens at the Capitol?
They're
apparently a bunch of freaking crazy people show up, and then you decide you're going to shoot them.
It's just a lack of training and a lack of experience.
Is it though? I feel like he would be like a lot different if that was the case.
Yeah, no seasoned officer would have shot someone in that situation.
You don't think so?
No. They would have called for backup. They would have said, hey, this door is about to be breached. I'm by myself. Come to the northeast corridor door, whatever, wherever it was.
Well, and then I just wonder if, like, we didn't get to see his identity for, like, ever,
And then, he comes out and is like, I'm the guy.
Yeah, so what I'm getting at is, like, was he just talking behind the scenes with his lawyers or something? Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to say this? What's the story?
Probably. And then somebody from NBC came up to him, a producer from NBC came up and said, hey, we want to do your story. We want to make you look good. This is why. We want to make it look like it was justified. Because
I just don't understand why you don't.
We can't give them another reason to hate us.
Was there even a trial in this whole thing? Did any of that happen?
No, of course not.
Everything was just waived.
He was acquitted. Or not acquitted. He wasn't even charged with anything.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah. It's really messed up. I think the guy should have been... I mean... dude. The fact... So this is how effed up justice is in our country right now. Derek Chauvin is in prison for murder. Like, premeditated murder. Murder one. And 25 to life in prison. And this guy that shot Ashley Babbitt is free. No charges. Should be the other way around. Should have been murder two at the very minimum for this cop.
Yeah.
That shot Ashley Babbitt.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Derek Chauvin should have been at the most convicted of manslaughter. At the most. He did not murder George Floyd.
Now, right. I would say manslaughter makes sense. I would say if you're going to do one thing one way, then do it the same every time. That's how I see it.
The thing is, states apply those murder laws differently.
I know, dude.
That's the thing. Isn't the District of Columbia?
Shouldn't I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It just happens to be on the media so much that everyone sees it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because like that kind of stuff probably happens more often than you think, right? Actually, it doesn't happen that often comparatively to all the police arrests that happened. But from the standpoint of happening at all, it does happen probably more often than we think. We just don't see all the freaking media coverage of it.
No.
You know? Dang, dude. It's crazy. And aren't they planning, like, to give Capitol Police more budget or something like that?
Yeah, they were wanting
They were talking about making it another branch, right? Another branch of intelligence.
I don't know about that, but I know they're asking for a lot more money because of January 6th, like, insurrectionists, quote-unquote.
Right.
I don't even think... The FBI even said there was no, like, large premeditated plan for an insurrection that day, like, especially one by Trump. So our own FBI said that that's not a thing.
Right. And they know. They looked into all the people that they're talking about.
So there's no real reason to increase their budget based on that.
But meanwhile, we still have an insurrection committee.
Yeah.
And we still have a congressional committee.
The whole committee is absolutely just absurd. Like,
did you see all the people she was denying? Like, she was denying, like, actual GOPers, and she's like, oh, let's put in...
Jim Jordan got denied.
Yeah.
I think Devin Nunez was supposed to be part of it, and he got denied. I think Congressman Issa may have been... I can't remember all the names, but... A few of them. And Nancy Pelosi was like, no, I only want Liz Cheney and that other rhino.
I was going to say rhino, exactly.
Just a joke. Nancy Pelosi is such a joke. She's so transparent. That's the thing. She doesn't care anymore. She's freaking 105 years old, so she does not care.
Nah, she's 300, dude. She's a robot. So hundreds of Americans remain in Afghanistan, it says here. But what do you think about that? You think it's more than that?
If you include like green card holders and visa holders and allies that helped us, translators and interpreters that helped us, and their families, it's definitely in the thousands. Did you hear about
meanwhile, they try to play it like they're trying to paint it, I guess.
I mean, relatively small, yeah.
Small number of Americans in Afghanistan. Wow.
And they're all over the country, too. They're not just in Kabul. So
right.
It could be hard just to transport them to Kabul, and then they have to get to the airport, which is totally... surrounded. And it's a landlocked mountainous country. Like, it's really hard to travel down.
I know. My problem is just days or a week ago, not even a week ago, they decided to release that quote-unquote list of a lot of people that were in Afghanistan to the Taliban.
Well, that was a... So that list was basically a list of interpreters and other allies that we wanted the Taliban to allow... safe passage to the airport.
Yeah, but how are you, dude? It's like a kill list, dude.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, you can't trust the Taliban like that. Like, it seems like a no brainer.
It's like they're trying to give them chances.
Yeah, like 15 years ago, this would have been so... Every American would have been like, what are you doing? Now people are so uninformed about the war in the Middle East.
Well, like, they're all woke. We have all a bunch of woke generals out here.
And I feel like the war is so old. Like, the 9/11 happened 20 years ago.
Yeah.
20 years ago. So a lot of these people just don't remember, you know? They don't remember why we went to war. They don't think about the Twin Towers collapsing and 3,000 people dying, and then the thousands of people that have died after that because of the firefighters and policemen and everyone that had all the lung issues and cancers due to just living in New York at the time. So, you know, a lot of Americans just don't remember why we were over there, and so that's why there's no support for the ongoing presence in Afghanistan. And so people aren't paying attention to it, and so, you know.
I think it's that mixed with this whole new... Not new, it's an old idea, but it's way more prominent. The whole, like, mm-hmm. anti-war, you know, quote-unquote movement or whatever. I think it's a lot more prevalent now just because of the fact that we've been in a peaceful state for so long, mm-hmm. you know? And so, all of a sudden, all these people, like... Who cares? We don't need to be over there anyway. We don't need a war.
Right.
You know? But I don't know, you know, you're not thinking about the war on a world scale, a global scale. You know, how many bases do we have? How many people, troops do we have at all these places? Like, we have, like, what, 50,000 troops in Germany for some reason?
Like 30,000,
30,000, okay. We have a lot of people everywhere.
Like 25,000 in South Korea, but...
Right.
And that's a lot more than the 2,500 in Afghanistan we're going to keep.
Boom.
So, it's not like that war is ongoing. It would have just... It was slowly fizzling out, slowly just it was maintaining a status quo in Afghanistan. And now that we've pulled out, the status quo has been completely uprooted. Like it never even happened.
Well, I'll say, okay, hold on. But I say there might have been a way to pull out. This is exactly the opposite of that way, right? So that's why I think it was uprooted, dude. We took it all out, like, just so oddly. It was just so military first. Why the heck did we do that? And then all of a sudden, you know, they have our equipment and stuff. I think that poor handling gave the Taliban confidence.
I mean, Joe Biden basically had all of his generals huddle up into a circle and then tossed a live hand grenade at the circle. He pulled a pin, waited 2 seconds, and tossed the hand grenade into the circle of generals. And then he said, all right, y'all figure out what to do with that. And as the one general was grabbing it to throw it away, it blew up in all their faces. And that's... what happened in Afghanistan. President Biden basically ordered his top generals, against all of their advice, to draw down troops from whatever it was, 2,500, 3,000, down to like 600 to 900.
Yeah.
He wanted like a very, very small footprint by the end of August, by now. And they said, well, to do that, you're going to have to close one of three things. Close two out of the three. You're going to have to close either Bagram Air Force Base or Air Base. You're going to have to close the U.S. Embassy, or you're going to have to have no access to Kabul Airport. And so Biden said, okay, well, we're going to keep the airport, and we're going to give up the air base and all of those materials with it. We're going to give up the embassy and all those materials and intelligence with it. There's biometrics at the embassy. Those biometrics contain information on allies that we worked with and interpreters that we worked with. It was like their eye scans, fingerprints, so they can go up and scan people and say, yeah.
Oh, we left that?
We left a bunch of that equipment. We left 16,000 pairs of night vision goggles.
Talk about national security, biometrics and stuff.
Yeah.
About national security.
Over 100,000.
What are you doing, dude?
Over 100,000 helicopters.
Yeah, no. Did you see that video? There's a video of them testing it. Supposedly, right? This is a news report. Uh-huh. And a girl's just like, I believe this is the Taliban in front of me. And they're like, taxiing this helicopter, like they're on the ground rolling around with it, like going right, and there's a dude over here watching with a gun. He's just watching them, you know, and you're just like, what are they doing? And they're like, you know, the reporter was just like, I guess I just realized this, but I guess the Taliban's never really had helicopters.
Duh, they don't even.
So they have no idea what they're doing.
They're literally living in caves, like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Iron Man, have you seen that?
Freaking helicopters. Yeah, exactly.
Iron Man, dude.
Yeah.
That's the guy, you know? He's the smart dude. Yeah. Building freaking awesome stuff for the Taliban.
So,
have you ever seen War Dogs, the movie?
I have not.
Oh, War Dogs. My gosh, I have to check it out. Dude. You gotta see it, dude. It's this. We're talking about the Middle East War. And, like, freaking these guys from America decide they're going to be on both sides. And they start selling guns and everything to everybody.
Oh, just arms dealers.
They're arms dealers, dude.
Huh.
Jonah Hill is in it, bro.
Interesting.
Yeah. Really good movie. And honestly, it's not one of Jonah Hill's, like, normal movies. It's not, like, you know, more straight comedy role. Or whatever. It's more dramatic role.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sick, dude. Sorry, I have to throw some movie knowledge in there every once in a while.
That's
dude.
Cool. Hey, movie recommendations. But the equipment that we left for the Taliban. So not only did we leave all the equipment over there, I mean, we're talking, it's like 160,000 fully automatic machine guns, big machine guns, like tons and tons of equipment, 30,000 Humvees or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, the fact that you can even say that, 30,000 Humvees.
Yeah, I didn't even know we had that many to begin with.
Yeah, well, if you're but thinking about that left. Being in Afghanistan, yeah. Then how many more do we have? You know what I mean? You're like, wow, we must really...
We got a lot.
We must really overspend on military.
I never thought about that. Half of $1 trillion, oh, no, sorry, like $2 trillion every year on our military?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy, dude.
Yeah. So, that buys us a lot of stuff. But the Taliban have so much more than they had before. So much more.
But do you really think that means anything? They're not.
It's not a big loss for us, but it's a huge gain for them.
Well, actually, I would say this. It might be a big deal for the Middle East, you know. Like, now they're probably a high power in the Middle East.
Do you think so? No.
You don't think so?
I mean, Saudis and Israelis, if they teamed up, which is likely what...
You really think Saudis would team up with Israelis?
Here's the thing. It won't escalate to that. It won't. Here's why. Because... Well, this is why I hope it won't escalate to that. Because
bro, we've seen some weirder things. Australia's gone.
You'll see nuclear war like that. And here's how the dominoes will fall. So Joe Biden literally just pulls the toothpick out of the Eiffel Tower, right? And that toothpick was supporting the Eiffel Tower, and it's about to crumble down. If, you know, worst case scenario, right?
Oh, what just happened, right, is the toothpick. Right,
exactly. Right. So us pulling out of Afghanistan is being pulled from the base of the Eiffel Tower. So he pulls this toothpick, and he's looking, and the leg buckles just now, and that's what's happening. The leg's buckling. And if Afghanistan falls into if it continues to fall into Taliban hands and the civil war is not formed, right? Because there are resistance fighters in a specific area of Afghanistan that are holding a few provinces and the Taliban can't get in. But the Taliban still own basically like 95% of the rest of Afghanistan now. And if they consolidate, if they build... If they get the backing of Iran and China and Pakistan, which they already have, essentially, and Russia. I forget, Russia still has their embassy over there. And they're basically, the Taliban are being internationally recognized by these countries as, like, a legitimate power. We're talking about, there's already been questions about, through the President of the United States, whether we'll recognize them at the UN. Like, will the Taliban be representing Afghanistan at the United Nations?
Yeah, as a government.
Yeah, insane, so dude. They're getting more and more... that question gives them some legitimacy, right?
That's the question they want, right? They want to know that they're a government.
They don't care. I don't think the Taliban care. I think they just want to rule over the Taliban people and create their own Islamic, you know, caliphate, essentially. And, So here's how the dominoes will fall. If Taliban... consolidate, right? Which it looks like they are. It looks like that's the way it's going. And they start picking a fight with their neighbors and becoming emboldened by Pakistan and Iran all around them. Maybe even going after Israel harder with terrorist attacks, that sort of thing. And Israel retaliates. It could be a coalition of Israel, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, maybe even Egypt, all going after Iran and Afghanistan.
Oh.
Now, if Pakistan jumps in, they're a nuclear power, and that could, it could escalate very quickly because of the volatility in the region. And then if India jumps in, because India's got a border dispute with China and Pakistan, they are also a nuclear power.
Well, I just... Okay.
China is a nuclear power.
I know, but that whole idea I thought was like so... I thought we were done with that idea. Maybe that's why you said it probably won't happen, but if it does happen that way, that's the worst case scenario.
That's how it's going to go.
I just think that's obvious. I thought that was the worst case scenario for any freaking like tension anywhere, because everyone's nuclear power now. But I thought that's what we talked about. The reason everyone has nukes is so that no one will nuke.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But...
Not reason, but that,
what
that's
if, a what
benefit,
if,
I guess.
What if China and Russia see themselves as... able to survive that kind of impact?
Well, I don't think they would have to see themselves as that. I think Russians would survive.
Yeah, I think Russians would probably be just fine.
Bro, overall. I heard there was a story. I read a story, and literally this happened last week. I think the story was out last week. A Russian mom talking to the neighbor, 1-year-old baby. I don't know how this happens. This is a crazy story. Mm-hmm. But apparently a 1-year-old baby crawls off and goes into the forest that was by their house. Literally, they found the baby 3 days later. A 1-year-old, dude. And the baby was fine. But you're just like, what the hell? Yeah. And it was in Russia. Apparently a rural part of Russia. So this forest is probably an actual forest. There's probably freaking bears and everything in that forest. What's
going on? Yeah, I was
going
to say, baby comes back just like wrapped in a polar bear loincloth. Just like, what's up? Just killed like 3 bones.
It like stands up straight and walks. Dude. Yeah.
Gotta look like Bam Bam. Gotta look like Bam Bam
Bam. Bam Bam Bam. No, I'm just saying it's crazy, but you're like, well, honestly, dude, even if that's a freaking all fake, I just believe it. Because like Russians, they breed them crazy over there, dude.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying... When it comes to nuclear war, I don't know, man.
If anyone's going to survive it.
China, though, nah. No, I don't think so. But you're right.
There's so much in rural China, though.
That's true.
China's
you're right.
A big country with all
rural parts. What about our freaking vaults, dude? You know?
Our vaults? What do you mean? Like in...
It was kind of a joke, like a reference to Fallout. But yeah, you know... At that point, we'll be like, oh, I guess we all need to live in vaults because we're about to have a nuclear war. You know?
Yeah, I think if things picked up that substantially, we would at least see some of it coming. At least the smart ones would. And then, you know, the smart ones would have their own bomb shelters and stuff like that here.
Do you think that would actually help, though?
Yeah, 100%.
You think so?
Yeah.
So for nukes, a bomb shelter would be decent.
Yeah, it depends.
Unless it's like direct, right?
So here's the deal. It depends on how close the nuclear explosion happens to you.
That's
right?
Okay, right, sure.
And how much radiation is in the air. Now, radiation travels with the wind, right? The wind will just push the radiation.
It's so weird
through.
How radiation can travel with wind.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a thing. You know, it's like a physical thing that floats or whatever.
Now, if it's a bomb that hits the ground or, you know, 4-5 feet above the ground to do the most damage or whatever it is, it's like 10 feet above the ground, something like that. Then you know, then your physical city is gone, right? But if it's an EMP and you launch it from a satellite and it blows up in the outer atmosphere, which is like pretty easy to do, you know. And the thing is, we have almost no defenses against an EMP unless you keep all of your electronics in a Faraday cage. It's dead, no matter what it is. So, the ECU in all of our cars, gone. You can't drive, you know, basically anything unless it's got, like, a mechanical fuel pump and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess I never really understood that it would be, like, dead like that. I guess yeah. I wasn't thinking that cars would be dead. I don't know.
That's the big. I think that's a big thing. Cars would be dead. A lot of transformers and transistors would blow. So I thought that was a myth.
Though I thought that was like someone was like, "Nah, there's no way that can happen. They can't do an EMP and get out like thousands of cars." But I guess maybe they can.
I think it depends. I think it depends on the car and depends on obviously where the EMP detonates.
Interesting. Because I thought
and how big the nuclear explosion is.
So, right. Interesting.
So. But I think within like directly below, yeah, you're gonna knock out quite a few cars and buildings and.
Well, here's the thing, though. We're talking about all this stuff, but, like, honestly, there's no reason for any of that. Because if you're right about the whole KJB freaking implanting themselves in our education system, then we're screwed there. And then also,
yep.
Chinese cyber attacks are apparently they're just easy to do, and we suck.
We're just
so they can control our electrical grid if they wanted to.
Yep.
So as far as EMPs go,
the thing is they don't
they need that.
They don't. They really don't unless they want to conquer the land, which they really don't feel the need to. They've conquered us pretty much.
America's beautiful, dude. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean they've conquered us completely just by our economic trade relations. You know, we basically just pay them so much money, and they like Trump has been saying, they're just ripping us off year after year after year.
Right, because they don't do anything we ask.
Right.
They just take their money.
But the thing is, China's been ramping up their military, and they have been getting into more border disputes. They want the one China policy. They don't really care, like I said, they don't care about our land as much, but they have been building up their military, and you never know.
Taiwan's next, or
Taiwan is gone.
Gone already, dude.
Remember that person I talked about? It was the last podcast or the podcast before.
Yeah, did they go? Did he go to the meeting yet?
I don't know. I'm going to have to call him and see what's going on with that. But, yeah, I definitely want to ask him about Afghanistan and what he's thinking and how the cybersecurity meeting went with the senators from his state. That'd be really interesting.
Yeah, that's... yeah. A lot of compounding things going on right now.
Yeah.
You know?
And if they can... Like I said, if they can keep attacking us, Russia and China specifically, and keep attacking us through our online infrastructure, because everything's online now, they can shut things down that way. It may not have to be an EMP. It could just be that. It could just be shutting down our pipelines for a week. And that causing enough pandemonium and ripple effects and all sorts of craziness. You know, people react crazy when they can't get gas.
Yeah, that's true. I keep thinking about like the electrical grid thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think the reason that it was such a big deal, you know, people were freaking out, right? Was because there was so much snow on the ground. I don't think... Obviously people would be like freaking out still, but if people can drive, I think that would change things tremendously. Like,
well,
like think about, and I was driving anyway because I have a 4x4 and I was like, screw this, I don't give a crap.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you're talking about people that were like, you know, quote unquote, they were trapped, they couldn't do anything, and that's probably what does it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like quarantine, dude. You get freaked out because you're like, I can't do anything. You know?
Yeah.
You psych yourself up.
And
you know?
We're talking about the snowmageddon that happened
The reason I'm bringing that up is because I don't see that happening anytime soon, obviously, because it had been like how many years since that happened? Like 100 years?
Yeah.
And maybe it'll happen next 100 years. I don't know. You know? But if we're still Gucci, we're still doing the same things. You know, it's 20 degrees, cool, whatever. They do the whole let's shut down the electrical grid thing. I don't think it'll be as big of a deal, but maybe so.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
People are also pretty dumb when it comes to that kind of stuff. So
yeah. I think I don't know.
I don't want to say dumb. Pretty ignorant when it comes to that kind of thing.
They're panicky.
Yeah, people don't know. People don't think about those things or expect them or plan for them.
Yeah, you know? That's the thing. Is lack of planning and. Biggest lesson I learned from 2020 and the whole snowmageddon and COVID and all this crazy stuff that we experienced was plan for a week without anything, 2 weeks without in, like having good groceries, having good electricity, you know?
Yeah.
So Sierra and I were like, you know, we're getting a generator. Now I'm like, all right, I want a battery. Because they're making like really good like Tesla batteries for your house.
Yeah, they are, dude. Tesla walls and stuff like that.
I really want to get one of those.
The vans you live inside of will have like a Renogy, like whole freaking setup with the batteries and solar power and stuff. And they can power a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So I'd love to get one of those. Just being able to do laundry, keep the freezer and fridge on.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
I mean, you remember like, you know, I guess it was probably two generations ago or whatever, generation X, I don't know, dude. The ones that, not even X, it's way before that. What am I thinking of? The Great Depression, you know, people that would be like, save every penny, and then they would like have like tons of food. They would have tons of food all the time and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't necessarily preppers. They didn't have like, you know, ready to eat meals and all this crap, but they had like just tons of cheaper, easily kept food.
Mm-hmm.
And they had tons of like cash stores and all that.
Yeah, lard was a big part of it.
Well, anyway, those people now are us. We have this event that happens, and we're like, oh, crap, yeah, now we're changed because of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say I'm going to be that dramatic about it and go all the way through, but, like, we're going to be 50 years old and, like, grandkids, 60 years old, grandkids are going to be like, why do you have an MRE, dad, or a granddad or whatever? Or, mm-hmm. like, you know, what the heck are you doing with all this, like, cryptocurrency? I don't know what they'll say, but you're just like, son, it was a different time then, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
if they're still in America, that is.
Yeah, I think just remembering this time is pretty important because it's a very tumultuous time. I think I was listening to Ben Shapiro today, and Tom Cotton was on, and Tom Cotton was talking about the senator from Arkansas, and he was talking about the ripple effects that pulling out of Afghanistan will have, and he was saying you can compare it to the negative ripple effects of, I think it was pulling out of Vietnam, and that showed China that they were going to start expanding into other territories. And he was talking about the positive effects of the other positive effects of when Ronald Reagan was president, I think in 1981, 82. Early on in his first term, the air traffic controllers, which are federal employees, were threatening a strike, which is illegal. You can't strike if you're a federal employee. And President Reagan was like, if you go on strike, or if you don't report back to work within 48 hours, you will be terminated. We're going to fire all of you. And the vast majority of the air traffic controllers did not return to work. And he fired every single one of them. All of them lost their jobs. And they were replaced with, temporarily replaced until the jobs could be refilled with military personnel, flight path controllers and that sort of thing. And the Russians took note of that resolve and said, this guy's serious. You know, he's a man of principle. We've got to take him seriously. And Tom Cotton's point in saying all this was, Joe Biden pulling out of Afghanistan isn't just us losing Afghanistan. It's also China taking Taiwan.
Right.
It's Russia taking a little bit more of their territory.
Yeah.
You know, it's other countries being emboldened knowing that our president will not stand up for American principles abroad.
Right. He won't. Dude.
Exactly. He wants those cheap domestic points, the cheap wins.
Yeah.
And he...
Look, dude,
has
our,
no spine.
Our whole
in this case, it backfired horribly.
For sure, but our whole society is a, you know, fall for anything society. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The whole if you fall for anything, you stand for nothing or whatever.
Right.
And that's how we all. That's how like everyone is now. It seems like, you know, the quote unquote woke culture. That's what woke culture is, dude. They go for whatever is working at the time, and then
mm-hmm.
next thing you know, they don't have any principles.
Exactly.
They have no idea what they want or believe or anything at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's probably the reason that a lot of them commit, you know, suicide.
Yeah, and I think that's by design of the woke culture, because I think wokeness was basically an invention of China. I think all of that ultra liberalism.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that invention of China?
I think that Chinese propaganda and Russian, honestly, Soviet and Russian propaganda started pushing that. I mean, when did it really happen? When did that whole idea of ultra liberalism?
Like basically, you're talking about like identity politics.
Identity politics, the sexual revolution, all of that began in the mid 60s. And the Russians really, I feel like, began to realize that they were losing by the mid 60s. You know, capitalism had really taken off, and Soviet communism obviously was not taking off.
Yeah.
And I think they were beginning to realize that we need to find another way. We're not going to beat them militarily. We need to find another way to
defeat
this country.
I don't understand that. I don't understand why it's always been this competition. I guess that's how it goes naturally.
Different. Well, but the thing
talking
is,
about, like, who cares? Dude? After Russia, let Russia be Russia and whatever.
Well, after World War II, everybody had their fingers in everybody else's candy bowls, right? And America had the most fingers, and Russia had the second most fingers, right? And they just, it was just for the advancement of their own interests in their own country.
America too, right? You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
America too. Yeah, we all were doing that. Why? I guess what I'm saying, like,
good,
guys.
Good and bad. It's because the better you do for America abroad, the better domestic results you have, and you're going to win the election. You're going to have a great legacy, and.
Maybe that statement right there, maybe that's really, like, for the polls. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's literally this big, you know, thing that's the big driving force, you know? Because it literally is the deciding factor for tons of regulations, tons of freaking bills that get passed, tons of crap is literally them getting into office, whatever it is, Congress, freaking Senator, whatever it is, they're immediately like, I got to keep my job.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the polls, you know,
and the money too.
That's crazy, dude. And the money,
it's all the lobbyists that get paid, and all of the special interests.
And how do you find a guy? And that's why, see, people think that these people are extremists.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so extreme, and blah, Trump is so extreme, and Rand Paul is extreme, or whatever. I don't think they understand that. That's literally what it takes to fight off what happens. Like the progression of society, if you will, if you want to call it a progression. It takes the crazy, extreme person like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Jeff Bezos is like this freaking just, maybe he's a dick. I don't know. I've never met him personally. Everyone sees him as one. You know, Steve Jobs is just like, he was insane as far as like workaholic, worked all the time, whatever. Everyone thought he was crazy. He didn't care about like necessarily close relationships or any of that crap. Then you look at Elon Musk. What is he doing? He's crazy. He's like in sleeps under his desk barely at all. Doesn't really sleep at all, actually, to do his 3 or 4 or 5 jobs or whatever he has, right?
Hmm.
These people are all innately just extreme in what they want to do. They're extreme.
Right.
And to any common man, you know, they're going to be like, or any other random dude that owns a freaking mom and pop shop, they're like, man, that guy's extreme, whatever. He's just too much, whatever. But they're gaining. They're successful because of that, I think it takes someone radical like that. So when you're talking about politics and you're like, well, what does it take to change things, blah, 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 it literally will take someone radical.
Mm-hmm.
We can call it radicalism if you want to freaking add a freaking ism to it, because everything has an ism, you know?
Yeah.
And if the sucky part is that when you say that, people think immediately like, oh, you're an extreme right, nationalist, mm-hmm. Nazi, neo-Nazi,
yeah, they think of it
whatever.
In a negative way, and it's like that.
It's like, whoa. No, I'm just saying that I'm so principled.
Radically for the people, maybe.
Radically for the people. I'm so principled that no matter what, I'm sticking to exactly what I say I'm going to stick to, period, in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you falter, like, because I know, like, in deep down, like, Trump or whoever it was thinking, like, they want to fall for these other things.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they weren't, dude. They're human.
Right.
They're human. They're not trying to be total assholes. It's not how that works. But maybe they realize that's the only way they can just freaking fight through all the muck.
Hmm.
To be super freaking stern in your position no matter what. Like, okay, that's how I can fight it off. Right? Maybe that's their mechanism. Maybe that's their coping mechanism for that. I don't know.
Maybe.
Sorry, that was a crazy little thing. I was like, man, I feel this. This is good.
Yeah.
Anyway, cool.
Well said. That's just, you never know what people are going to produce until you put them in that situation.
Right, dude. That's why, you know, honestly, I would love it. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe you should campaign, dude. Maybe we should campaign for Matty B, you know?
Hey, vote for Matty B.
Seriously, dude. I'll be the hype man.
Do it.
And now, presenting, you know, some crazy show.
I'll be like, government's terrible. I want to dismantle it from the inside. Let me at her.
Let me at her.
Just going in there, ripping guts out of government. Get out of here, government.
But the problem is that people won't vote for that. Maybe they will. Maybe we're getting to such a point where it really doesn't matter.
That's
now
what the Libertarian Party is. It's like,
yeah, but Libertarian Party is ran by a bunch of lunatics, dude. And we need to get some real people in that party.
They are kind of.
We need to get some real people in that party, dude.
The thing is, Trump pulled all the sane people out of the Libertarian Party, and they joined the Republicans again.
Because they were going to win. Trump's like, you can actually be well-known in my party. And they're like, oh, heck yeah.
I think a lot of that is also because Trump is very conservative and, like, pragmatically conservative populist president.
Yeah, right.
So.
But, wow, dude. Wow.
Yeah, Trump 2024. It's going to happen. He's going to win.
You think he's going to win?
Yeah.
Already?
I mean, who's he going to run against, bro? Who's he going to run against? So I think he's going to run. I think he's also going to get the nomination. And I think he's going to win because he's going to be either running against Kamala or whoever replaces Kamala. Because Joe Biden won't be there. He won't be there.
No, he's not. He's out.
And if Kamala does something
he's out.
Equally as dumb,
look, you know, the fact
impeached and removed.
The fact that CNN was reporting on this Afghanistan thing relatively unbiasedly.
I mean, it's an egregious failure.
That means something.
And a horrible policy decision. The thing is, like, if he starts wanting to fire top cabinet officials, which is probably what's going to have to happen politically, some heads are really going to have to roll. Anthony Blinken being, you know, coming to the forefront of my mind, being Secretary of State. If he doesn't, you know, resign willingly and be like, okay, I'll be the fall guy. I'll go, and you know, he could just be like, you know what, guys, this guy's got to go. I'm gonna stay. I'm gonna be Secretary of State for Kamala. But the thing is, even if Kamala goes in and becomes president, then I don't think she's going to keep him. He's done. Anthony Blinken's done either way. I absolutely think
do you think they think that they're so amazing that they're doing the world a favor? Do you think that's how they think?
That really depends. Doing the world a favor or doing the U.S. a
Sorry,
favor?
Maybe the U.S. But like I know not every politician is probably this way, but like, and I know how they present themselves isn't always what they actually are. Yeah. They're actors in a way, but like, I'm trying to think about in my head what would make me even care to stay as a president. Like, what would make me want to actually stay? Like, I'm putting it myself in Biden's shoes right now. Like, why would you've got money, you know, you've got a family, you know, you've got a home, nice, probably have three or four homes, like you have a nice living available for you. What is your actual reasoning? Like, you know what I mean?
It depends on I think it depends on the president. I think Trump had a real sense of obligation and duty, you know? I didn't see it in 2016. I didn't vote for him, but I was like, I definitely saw it once he was president. I felt like, okay, this guy actually really does care. He really does.
Yeah, no, I get that. But you could tell. And sometimes you're like, man, that guy's kind of a jerk. But then you're like, oh, wow, he really cares.
And then,
but you see Biden, I don't.
No, and Biden is doing it because the people around him pressured him to.
Okay.
And because he thinks it's what's best for his family. Biden truly cares about his family. It's all he thinks about. He's definitely a family guy. He loves his family, for sure. To an extreme fault. He will literally
defend his son against.
Yeah.
So
here's three
embezzling
examples.
Money.
Here's three examples. He wants so bad to provide for his wife that he makes her first lady at his own and the country's expense, because he's deteriorating mentally five times faster than he would have if he was just sitting at home sipping tea and riding bikes. Right. Secondly, his son, listen, his son Hunter is doing this freaking art show and making, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands off daddy's name yet again. So his son's getting richer and richer, which daddy doesn't care how it happens. Just get rich, son. Same with his brother, Joe Biden's brother. And third, his deceased son, Beau Biden, was all he talked about when he met with one of the victims of the latest terrorist attack in Afghanistan, one of the Marine's wives. He met with her after the Marine's parents refused because they held Biden accountable. Yeah.
Wow.
And she said that it was a horrible experience and that all he could talk about was how his son had died and how he can relate to how they're feeling, and didn't ever say sorry, and didn't ever, I don't even think he mentioned the Marine's name. Like, doesn't care. He has his deceased son's mind, his, you know, Hunter on his mind, and he's got his wife and his brother on his mind at all times. He cares about his family, numero uno. That's why he's in office. Obama cared about his name. He cared about his legacy. He wanted to be the first black president.
Right.
You know, and he wanted Obamacare. He wanted some big piece of legislation, some big thing. If you look at his, he doesn't have a presidential library. He has a presidential center. Okay. And it's huge, and the Obama name is going to go on forever, and he ran a scandal, like, you know, quote unquote scandal free administration, even though he had tons of horrible scandals that the press just didn't pay attention to. Benghazi, Fast and Furious. I mean, there's plenty more. And then Clinton, I think there's a few reasons Clinton wanted to. I'm skipping over Bush because everybody knows Bush just did it because Daddy wanted him to. And Clinton. Clinton's motivations for being president, I think, was he always had something to prove. Poor boy from Arkansas. And he was incredibly, incredibly driven. He did truly want to help the average American, I think. And
we just got caught up in Monica Lewinsky, bro.
He just couldn't keep it in his pants, dude. It wasn't just Monica. It was all over the place.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And he got floppy. It wasn't JFK days anymore. This is the 90s. Wasn't the good old 60s.
Oh, my God.
Dude. Well, dude, JFK was straight up bringing him in the back door of the White House almost every day. Like, I'm not joking. Every single day.
Yeah.
And that's, you know. And now,
well, okay. So I get what you're saying. All that makes sense. And, yeah, so every president has a different reason.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about how if I would be like, I can leave now. I've got everything I need, you know.
Once you're in that office, I feel like the...
You think it, like, sucks you in?
Oh, dude, yeah.
You think it just
in the
sucks
most
you in,
immense
dude?
Way you can imagine.
I don't know about all that.
It becomes your life.
The president used to be famous. I don't really think the president is famous anymore. Does
what?
That make sense? No, listen. Does it make, like, in pop culture, does that make sense? Like, so, people... Trump, of course, always got talked about in pop culture, but, like...
And Obama didn't?
People... Maybe, but I'm saying less and less. I'm saying it's less so, I think.
Uh-uh.
You know? I think no one really... Maybe it's just because it's Biden.
Biden's just boring. That's what Americans want. They want a nice, boring...
I didn't hear crap, dude. When I was growing up, I didn't hear crap. You know, presidents didn't freaking matter. Who gives a crap? And, like, all of a sudden, here we are, you know? Like, going through high school, another kids, we don't talk about presidents. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not popular. It's not, like, a thing, you know?
Yeah, it's not something kids don't
know. I don't know.
Talk politics.
You know, sure. I don't know. Young 20s, probably, too. I don't know. And I don't know if that's always been like that, you know?
I don't know. I've always been a political junkie.
I'm just thinking that has something to do with it.
Even since I was a kid. I remember watching Bush v. Gore.
Because fame and power obviously matters a lot. But fame also plays a role in you being, like, sucked into it, you know? And being changed by it or whatever.
Yeah. Now think about all of the power in the world, all of the fame in the world, all of the ups and downs of
You're right.
The world.
Global fame? Like, yeah, you're right. It's way more.
Like,
way more, yeah.
Being the president of the United States is the most immense job in the world. It's also the most, I think technically it's the most dangerous job in the world. Because we've had 45 presidents now. Yeah. Yeah. 45 presidents. And I think, what, 5 or 6 have been assassinated and killed? And then assassination attempts have been done on another, like, 15? Yeah. A dangerous job.
I'm just, why is Biden still, you know, doing his thing?
It's only been a few months. And the thing is, assassins are just like...
honestly, why is Trump... How did Trump make it?
I'll wait for this one. Like, I'll sit back and...
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm surprised no one tried to get Trump.
They didn't have to. Look what happened. The media assassinated him for them.
Oh, that's a good point.
They had so much control that they were just like, oh, this guy's a disruptor. This guy's another JFK. We've got to get rid of him. By all means. You know?
Yeah.
And JFK was so... The thing was, JFK was so charismatic and popular and nice.
Yeah.
They couldn't just badmouth him in the press. That wasn't going to work.
Right.
They had to make it look like a crazy radical.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. You can make him look
JFK was about to defund the CIA.
Yeah, and that needs to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It needs to be defunded and abolished.
Defunded and abolished, yep. Yep.
And now it's time for our Facebook Warriors!
This is what everyone's been clamoring for. You could win a toasty tea if you comment on my Facebook question every week, and that's what we call the Facebook Warrior. Get ready. Today is a juicy one.
All right, the question was, should Biden remove himself from office after the recent failures in Afghanistan? I think at this point we agree, me and Matt, yes. I had a few comments, including Matt. I'll read through them real quick. Matt Bricker. Who's that guy? Don't you mean Matty B? No, I'm just kidding. Of course, this is indefensible and clearly shows not just a lack of leadership, but responsibility, duty, moral fortitude, courage, and competence. Dang, dude. Biden should not only resign, but never be seen in public again.
Shunned. He should be shunned.
Bro, chill out, dude. That's like Roman time stuff, like banished, you know? Get banished from the land.
Yeah, I mean.
Nathan Von Rocket Dickey. I hate to answer a question with a question, but y'all want Harris as president?
And my wife, I answered this.
Everyone wants to ask that question, right?
To Sierra, my wife, she was like, and you think Harris would be better? And I was like, yeah, I do. You know why? Because Harris has a political future ahead of her. Biden does not care. He's not going to listen to anyone. He doesn't care about re-election. Doesn't care about midterms. Doesn't care.
He's done.
He's done. He will not campaign for a single person in midterms. Watch. He might do some videos, release some videos.
Did you see Harris canceled her campaigning with Newsom?
Did she?
She canceled it, dude.
Ooh.
And then she took a flight straight from that cancellation river to D.C., and she was talking to the SecDef, and this was when Afghanistan was happening. Because Jack Posobiec...
Oh.
So the reason Jack Posobiec is on the list, right?
Yeah.
It's because he has informants in the White House, including informants from the Democratic Party.
Wow.
And they want him out. They want him done. He said on Temple, he's like, guys, look, here's the deal. Here's the real truth. I have people that give me information where I get all... Because he has a ton of information that comes on Twitter. He just tweets all this shit out. And you're just like, how do you know any of this stuff? Is this true or not? You don't know. You're like, this guy's weird. This guy's a nutcase, dude. But he's like, I have informants in the current administration right now, and they want to know who they are. So they want all my stuff. My lawyers are already working it out. I'm like, what the heck? This guy's crazy. But Jack Posobiec has never been a guy that's like Alex Jones. He's always been a straight, level-headed dude. Like, if you watch the documentary I told you about, the QAnon documentary, he's in that documentary because he was like surrounded by 8chan and all that stuff, right? Because that's how it really got started, right?
Mm-hmm.
Weird dude. But the fact that he said that, I was like, what the heck? And then the next thing you know, after he says that, I get on Twitter. I'm looking through, and he literally has the tweet, and he's like, Kamala Harris canceled her plans with Newsom to campaign on a flight to D.C. right now talking to SecDef in midair. How would he know in midair she's talking to SecDef? I'm like,
How do you know that? Yeah.
It's weird.
That's like you've got somebody in the VP office. That's weird. For sure.
She was talking to SecDef all of a sudden as Afghanistan's going down. What do you think they're talking about? Future plans, maybe?
Well, do you know what day this was?
Here, let's see.
Look up the date, the actual date. Because if it was August 16th, that was the day that everything really turned. I think August 15th was the day we... Look and see if it was either like August 15th or 16th.
Oh, he tweets a lot.
Gotta do some scrolling. Oh, it's like an hour. Oh my gosh, he tweets like several times an hour.
Oh yeah, he's on it, dude. What the heck? It's going to get worse.
Yeah, it's going to get way worse. But anyway, if he knew that back then first of all, I think it means Gavin Newsom's in real trouble in California.
Oh, for sure.
Good chance he's going to get recalled. But if she is flying and talking to SecDef and all of that, she might be trying to run things. You know?
And what?
As far as Afghanistan, she might be trying to run things because they may not have been able to get a hold of the president at the time.
What the hell? This is crazy. I don't know.
Okay, it looks...
August 29th.
We're looking for like August 16th.
Really?
I mean, that's when this whole like fiasco really started to unravel that weekend. Still like way down there.
Look at this. Biden will meet the families in 1 hour. Like, how does he know with stuff like that? White House not allowing press when Biden meets families today. Okay, well, this is the schedule. Okay,
so, when George Bush would be there to attend the... You can stop looking for that tweet.
Yeah, okay, thank you, dude. He tweets way too much.
Yeah, I thought you would like cap it up. But anyway, when George W. Bush was there to attend the arrival of soldiers that had come back, fallen soldiers that had come back from Afghanistan and Iraq, he would do it in the middle of the night with no press. It was very like, this is a solemn moment, no press allowed. This is between like the commander in chief, the fallen soldiers, and the families, pretty much.
That's cool.
And of course, Joe Biden has to have cameras there and checks his watch.
Yeah.
That's the difference, you know.
Yeah, man. Dang.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Like, yes, Kamala Harris would be better. Because, like, the other thing people don't understand is that you, technically, how I see it is, it's one less, man. It's one out of, what, three or four of the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because next up, Kamala Harris, fine. Let's figure out what's going to happen here. And boom,
yeah, exactly.
Gone.
And like I was saying, like, she might have a political future. She's going to listen to people. She has motivation to do well
at
the job.
And it gets her out of the position faster because people might realize if she does a bad job, which I assume she might, people would realize, oh, we don't want her as president either. Otherwise, we have the potential of her being president next term, right? Mm-hmm. So if we do it now, then it's like the next term rolls around. People will be like, nah, we don't want her either.
I mean...
Right? If we can get this out faster and faster. Like, guys, we need people to start realizing faster that what works and what doesn't.
But I mean, in all seriousness, how much time does Biden really have left? Like, if he keeps doing this job and he keeps going at the rate he's going, he's probably going to die in office. Because
You're saying that no matter what, anyway, Kamala will probably be in this term. No
like I
what,
like yeah. I said, he's not going to.
No, I know.
He's not going to last 2 years. I think he's done by the spring.
Right. So that's why I think Kamala Harris. Yes, I want that. Yes, we want that because we want to just get it over with.
She's going
to
be more competent than the guy who's not there mentally for the freaking just bare
just for the sake of the country, dude. I'm not even going to say this is for like.
Yeah, I was going to say
political
for the,
sides or whatever.
For the,
this is like
for the bare defense of the like for the most basic defense of the country. Because he's asleep at the wheel, like literally.
Correct.
You saw the picture of him just this weekend with the Prime Minister of Israel. They were sitting next to each other in the Oval, and Biden literally freaking fell asleep in the chair.
Yeah.
Like, he's not there. And when Peter Ducey from Fox News was asking him the question on Afghanistan, he's sitting there clutching his binder, looking down, hands at his chest. And just the total, like, almost the fetal position. I was like, just as an American citizen, I was like ashamed that my president was just in that physical position. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, George W. can dance around, look crazy, and Obama can have the stick selfie stick in the White House, and Trump can be freaking Trump, but... And I can tolerate all those. All of those, I was like, okay, that's a little silly, that's a little, you know, whatever.
Trump can do his little weird dance that he does.
Yeah,
you know?
But, yeah, exactly, but that's... that's like, okay, that's a little quirk, that's a little thing. This is like, just disgraceful. It's right, just disgraceful. It is, yeah. There's no... Like, haha, like, the other side's going to poke fun at it. Like,
yeah.
Republicans were like, oh, it's so unpresidential to have a selfie stick in the office. I was like, yeah, lighten up,
don't.
Like, chill out. It's,
right, it doesn't matter.
2018
we don't
whatever,
even have...
Or 2015.
We don't even have that happening. Because what do you say about that?
What do you mean?
Like, GOP or, you know, Republicans or this side, they don't have... What are they going to make fun of? Well, he's an old man. Oh, yeah, he's an old man. We can all see it. Get the heck out of the office, you know?
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
There's no like making fun of it, really, on the GOP side. It's more just, you know, like,
hey, but no more bad tweets, guys.
Yeah. It's more just like he's incompetent. He's unable to make those really tough decisions.
Yeah.
And he's so stubborn because he's 80 years old.
Right.
He won't take any fresh advice. Like, it's his way or the highway, and his way is literally old school and it's wrong.
So my response to this guy as the Toasty Podcast, whatever, not necessarily, but by principle, Biden should be removed. If we say he has done something to deserve being impeached, that shouldn't change if it turns out his predecessor isn't good for us. Also, the other point I'll make is it would be one down, two more to go. The worst of the worst right now are probably Kamala, Nancy, and AOC, but AOC has fallen out of favor in the line and of the limelight, is what I meant to say, so we should be okay for now. That's all I said.
Yes, absolutely.
Those were my immediate thoughts, so I didn't have a well-informed decision. Yeah, J.O. Miller. Yes, absolutely. Okay. J.O. Miller always coming in with the shorties.
So my,
you know what I'm saying?
My grandma sent me a message on Messenger that I was like, absolutely, he should, but he won't. Basically all she said. She
doesn't think he will be impeached, or he won't do it himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he won't do it
himself. Remove himself from office. Yeah, he should, but he won't.
No, you just said it yourself. He's an 80-year-old, very, very prideful man. He's very stubborn. That is normal amongst 80-year-old men.
He will not resign,
honestly,
until it's like a Nixon moment, until like he's impeached and it's over and
right.
You're done, boy. But I don't see him coming back. I mean, I just don't. When the media is against him, and when this many Democrats are against him, and there's pressure on a lot of House Democrats and a lot of, and frankly Nancy Pelosi to do something about this because it's so unpopular and unsavory politically
amongst everybody.
It put a bad taste in America's mouth and made us all really.
Well, hey, maybe now people will start to freaking look into stuff, huh? Probably not.
I doubt it. They'll listen to the people they've been listening to, and the people they've been listening to are just spinning this to make it look like a victory. Oh, we removed 100,000 people in just a few days. But that's whatever, not dude. Panicked or rushed. When Biden said it was not going to be a panicked or rushed removal.
But it was.
A joke.
People were dying, dude. Guys, if you like our podcast, well, we like you too. But also, like, share, and subscribe this show, with the main one being share, and we can get the word out. That's what we want. We want the word out. And if you're listening right now and you're thinking, man, I could be a great guest, I have a lot of info, or I work in whatever industry you work in and you want to talk about it, please email us. ListenToastyPodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram, toasty.podcast, or pretty much anywhere else, honestly. But whatever, those are the easiest ones. DM, easy. Easy, easy, easy peasy. Lemon squeezy. All right, guys.
All right.
Stay toasty.
Stay toasty, everybody.
Thanks for listening or watching if you're on YouTube. You can find us at all the podcast platforms there are in the world. You can also find us on YouTube and follow us there. We are available everywhere. Please share the show if you liked it. The only way we grow is if you share, and that means you care. You can find me at The Real Sky Day on all social media platforms, and you can go see our website at therealskyday.com. See all the stuff we have to offer. We also offer apparel, and that actually does help out the show. therealskyday.com/shop, of course. But above all else, stay toasty. Toasty.